राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरवन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा। जय विश्वपाद परमहंस परिवादकाचार्य स्तोत्र शतक कृष्ण कृपा मूर्ति अभय जनमिन भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की राजगण श्रीमद भागवतम की पिताई को प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल ड्यूटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल ड्यूटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल ड्यूटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद भागवतम Canto 6, Chapter number 17, Text number 125. Om Namo Bhagavate Shri Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 1, 2, 3, don't have any. Okay, so I will chant text 4 and 5. Okay. 2 and 3. 2 and 3 do have purport, so we'll chant 2 and 3. सलक्षं वरसलक्षानं अव्यथात बलेन्द्रिया स्तुयमानो महायोगी मुनिभि सिद्धचरणः कलौ चलेन्द्रद्रोणीषु नानासंकल्पसिद्धिषु रेमे विद्याधर स्त्रीभिर् गापयन् हरिम् ईश्वरम् सलक्षं वरलक्षानम् अव्याताहात बलेन्द्रिया स्तुयमानो महायोगी मुनिभिः सिद्धचरणैः सलक्षं वरसलक्षानम् अव्यातः बलेन्द्रिया स्तूयमानो महायोगी मुनि सिद्ध चरण सलक्षं वर्ष लक्षानां अव्यात बलेन्द्रिय स्तूयमानो महायोगी चारणे सलक्षं वर्ष लक्षानां अव्यतहात बलेन्द्रिय स्तूयमानो महायोगी मुनिभि सिद्ध चारणाय सलक्षं वर्ष लक्षानां अव्यहात बलेन्द्रिया स्तूयमानो महायोगी मुनिभि सिद्ध चारणै सलक्षं वर्ष लक्षानं अव्यहात बलेन्द्रिया स्तूयमानो महायोगी मुनिभि सिद्ध चरणै स ही चित्रकेतु लक्षं 100,000 वर्ष ऑफ इयर्स लक्षानं 100,000 आव्यहता विदाउट हिंड्रेंस बल इंद्रिय whose strength and power of the senses, stuyamana, being praised, mahayogi, the great mystic yogi, munibhi, by saintly persons, siddha charanai, by the siddhas and charanas, kula chendriya dronishu, with the valleys of the great mountains known as Kulachandra or Sumeru, Nana Sankalpa Siddhashu, where one becomes perfect in all kinds of mystic power, Reme enjoyed Vidyadhara Stribhi, with the women of the Vidyadhara planet, Gapayan, causing to praise Harim, the Supreme Personality of God and Hari, Ishwaram, the Controller, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, translation, being praised by great sages and saints and by the inhabitants of Siddha Loka and Charana Loka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wandered about enjoying life for millions of years. With the bodily strength and the sense free from deterioration, he traveled within the valleys of Sumeru Mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. In those valleys, he enjoyed life with the women of Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari. Purport. It is to be understood that Maharaj Chitraketu, although surrounded by beautiful women from Vidyadhara Loka, did not forget to glorify the Lord by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It has been proved in many places that one who is not contaminated by any material condition, who is a pure devotee, engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord, should be understood to be a perfect. I'm reading text 1, translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, after offering obeisances to the direction from which Ananta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had disappeared, Chitraketu began traveling in outer space as the head of Vidyadhara. So the summary of this chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnu Stapitenya Putale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Tadati Sumadantikam Panchakalpataru Patrippa Sindhu Pevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavinamunam जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण, आई एम जस्ट आस्किंग द ब्लेसिंग्स फ्रॉम वैष्णव्स सो दैट आई कैन स्पीक समथिंग। आई एम जस्ट ट्राइंग माय बेस्ट। सो द समरी ऑफ दिस चैप्टर इज दैट इन लास्ट चैप्टर Chitraketu met Lord Shankarshan, and Lord Shankarshan blessed him. With that blessing, his unfulfilled desires were fulfilled. Lord Chitra means Lord Shankarshan wants him to go back home, back to Godhead, but between that pathway, he got a middle berth in the land of Vidyadhara, where he has got his own airplane. He was traveling in the airplane with the women of Vidyadhara. But since his previous samskara were there, he was a devotee of Lord, he never forget chanting the holy name of Lord. So once he was passing through the airplane, I'm just giving you the summary, he came to the place where Lord Shiva was sitting in assembly of the great saints, along with the wife, along with his wife, and he was embracing his wife, keeping on the lap. So he criticized Lord Shiva that he should not behave that way. With this attitude, with this behavior, a mother Parvati get offended, and she cursed Chitraketu that you become demon, Vritrasura, in your next life. So with that curse, he become a demon in his next life, and then was killed by King Indra. So this was totally planned by Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That's the whole chapter. And when he was cursed by mother Parvati, he at once realized that he has done a great mistake, and he immediately come to the Jnana platform. It was not like that he was struggling. He immediately come to the Jnana platform. He started repenting, and he started philosophizing the things that, okay, this material body is obtained by karma, and Supreme Personality of Godhead gives everything according to karma. So he was speaking in a very Jnani way. So it seems that in a previous life, he was a devotee. And because of that devotional attitude, the same samskara has grown again in this life, and he accepted the curse positively. I also want to read verse number 4 and 5, 4 and 5, because it is connection with the 2 and 3. Translation: one time while King Chitraketu was traveling in outer space on a brilliantly effulgent airplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by Siddhas and Charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great saintly persons and embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. Chitraketu laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati. Purport: Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, Bhaktim Bhutim Hari Dattva Sva Vichena Danu Bhutaye Devaha Sapena Vritravyam Nitvatam Swantika Anyata. The purport is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikunth Loka as soon as possible. The Lord's plan was that Chitraketu be cursed by Parvati to become Vritrasura so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. There have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. For Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in relationship between husband and wife. This was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in the situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus, he was eventually cursed, and this curse was the cause of his returning home back to Godhead. So, from the purport, we understand two things. That nothing is possible without the will of Lord. And second, the person should not imitate the action of any great person without having proper qualification. When Lord Krishna descended to this material world, he descended because of two reasons. First, to establish the religious principle. And second, he specifically come for his devotees. Lord Krishna is having relationship with devotees as a friend, as a son, he has a spiritual master, he's going to school, so he has relationship with everyone. So it is said that Kritvan Kila Karmani Sa Ramena Keshava Ati Mrityani Bhagwan Buddha Kapata Manusha. It means that Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing like a human being along with his brother Balarama, and is performing many superhuman acts by masking his own form. And this is very inconceivable to the common man to understand. At the same time, in Bhagavad Gita 3:22 to 3:24, Krishna is explaining that how he himself is following the rules and regulation of the scriptures. Because if he is not following the rules and regulation of scriptures, the common man will follow it, and he'll be the cause of destruction. He'll be cause of the ruination of this society, because people will not follow shastras. And reason is that if they not follow shastra, then they will act whimsically. Vartate kama krita, then what is that? Na sa siddhim, na sukham, na param gatim. There will not be perfection, there will not be happiness, they will not achieve the supreme destination. So he performs activity. But even though he performs the rules and regulation, he is beyond the rules and regulation. So sometimes he performs the activities independently, which is inconceivable to common men to understand. Therefore, a common man should not imitate the action either of Lord Krishna or his direct representative, but you should try to follow it. In Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text Number 30, it says that Na etat sam achare jatu manas apihi anishwara vinashyati acharan mudiyat tatha arudra abdijam visham. That a person who is not a great person should not imitate the action of great personality even in mind. And if he do so foolishly, he will destroy himself. For example, Lord Shiva, Rudra, he drank the whole ocean of poison, and his neck was nil. It was like blue neck. At the same time he was smoking ganja. So Lord Shiva can do this. But the so-called Shiva followers, they try to imitate Shiva by taking ganja and opium and marijuana and say that we are doing because of the devotion. But at the same time, if they can drink the poison, the whole ocean of poison, they can do that. Similarly, the so-called follower of Krishna, they imitate Krishna in many different ways, but they cannot lift the Govardhan hill. So we cannot imitate anyone. We can follow the footstep, and that is the safest point. The second thing, what I told, that nothing is impossible without the will of Krishna. For example, in 247, Krishna says that never consider yourself as a cause of result of your activities. And the purport also, they say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikunth Loka as soon as possible. So that was Lord's plan, that Chitraketu be cursed by Parvati to become Vritrasura, so that in his next life, he could quickly return home back to Godhead. So everything was planned by Krishna, that Chitraketu get a curse, he get a curse from Mother Parvati, he get a birth as a Vritrasura in his next life, and his same life, he will be killed by King Indra, and will be going back home to Godhead. So this situation was created by God. Similarly, the other example last week Prabhu gave, Nityanand Prabhu, that how Maharaj Parikshit, there was no reason of Maharaj Parikshit being affected by the thirst, because he was sitting for 7 days without water and food. And he was telling that Naishati Du Shakshunu Mam Tatya Adokam Api Badhete, that I have given up my hunger and thirst, which is very difficult to bear. So there is no question of getting bewildered for Maharaj Parikshit. But when he was in a forest, in the wood, he was really thirsty. Krishna created a situation where he got a real thirst, and he went to the Samyak Rishi ashram, and no one paid attention. So his memory got bewildered, and he threw the snake on the neck of Samyak Rishi. He cannot do this thing, but he has done by the will of Lord, because Krishna wants that Srimad Bhagavatam should be recited by his medium. This also shows, and similarly the Chitraketu, the situation was created by Krishna, that he laughed loudly. Chitraketu was a devotee of Krishna. So he cannot even offend anyone. What is a What is a, there is no question of offending to Lord Shiva at all. But somehow the creation was situated in offended Lord Shiva. He laughed and giggled. So that was the situation. And this shows that how the speaking is very important. It says that if we don't know what to speak in front of our spiritual master or author, it is better to keep silence. Because silence is better. Because if we speak, our foolishness will come out. So it's better to be silent. And Prabhupada say that talking or speaking is like croaking of toads. When you speak too much, the frogs, they invite the death. We have seen it many times in rainy season in India. I don't know about America, but in India, the frog used to speak a lot. And that means they're inviting a snake, so that please come to eat me. And similarly, we are reading the pastime of Rajasuya sacrifice, 10th canto. It says that in the Rajasuya sacrifice, King Yudhishthira called many saintly people. Many, many, many saintly people. And also the people from other planets like Charanas, Siddhalokas, Vidyadharas. There were so many people being called. And they all were pondering who should be the first person to be respected. Because they were not coming to the conclusion. And there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Paramakarana Ishwara kehe nahi mane. Swasamata stape paramatera khandane. That no one will come to the conclusion. No one will care. No one cares. No philosopher cares about Supreme Personality of God to be the cause of all causes. They try to put their own philosophies and try to dispute the philosophy of others. In that way they struggle. But at the same time, there were great people were there in the assembly, Rajasuya sacrifice, like Brahma, Shiva, Vyasdev. They never spoke a single word. And the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving commentary in that point that no one has asked our opinion at this point. Why should we speak? So that's why they remain silent. So that should be the attitude of the sadhaka, that to keep silence as much as they can. I'm practicing. So similarly, all great saints were sitting in the assembly of Shiva. None of them speak that what Shiva was, Lord Shiva was doing. But Chitraketu laughed and giggled it. Chitraketu was blessed by Lord Shankarsena, so he was a little bit puffed up. He was thinking that he was the best person. So he was thinking that he could criticize or he could correct Lord Shiva. So he has done a great Vaishnava offense. And no one was offended, but Mother Parvati got offended. It is said that Vaishnavare Kriya Mudra Vijanena Bhujya. No one can understand the actions and symptoms of Vaishnava. It is also said that Ishwaranam Vacham Satyam. That the statements of the empowered representative of the Lord is as good as Lord Himself. And what is that? Buddhiman Tat Samacharet. The intelligent person will follow the instruction. So, Ishwara. First of all, we have to come to the conclusion that Ishwara is there, because in modern scientific theory, there is no Ishwara at all. They say that there is no Ishwara. They say that Asatyam Apratishtam Jagat Ahur Anishwaram. There is no Ishwara. Aparasparam Sambhudam. Why this world is arising? Kim Anyat Kam Ahitukam. Just because of the lust, sex desire. But there are Ishwaras. The Ishwara and Parmeshwar is Krishna. There are Ishwaras to control the different universes. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma is called Ishwaras. And they can do anything which might seem bewildering to the common people. Lord Brahma can do anything. He can run behind the deer. Lord Shiva can do anything. He can sit and embrace his wife. But the common man cannot follow it. And common man cannot understand this thing. So it's better to accept it and remain silent. Like the saint did it in the assembly. So when Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu, he at once understood that he has done a big mistake. He at once came to the Jnana platform, because he was a devotee of Lord. So he was on that platform. He was on the enlightenment platform. By the will of Lord, he forgot for a moment, but then immediately he came to that platform that, okay, I've done a big mistake. And with a folded hand, without being disturbed, he accepted the curse of Mother Parvati. So it was very bewildering that suddenly a person is laughing and giggling, and suddenly he just came to the platform of self-realization and just stopped everything and disturbed. Without being disturbed, he just folded his hand and accepted it. That was a great platform. So everyone was shocked with this behavior. And at that time, Lord Shiva told that the devotees are very difficult to understand. Narayana, para, he quote this verse, Narayana parasarve nakotaschina bibiyati swarg apavarga narkasya apitulya artha darshina. That the devotees of Krishna, they never fear of anything. For them, swarg, nark, heaven, hell, liberation, apavarga, everything is same. It's like apitulya artha darshina. It's like a minute thing, small, very little, paltry thing. They don't even care for anything. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, verse number 29, he says that Sammoham Sarva Bhuteshu, that I'm equal to everyone. Namo Veshostina Priya, that I never envy anyone, I never favor anyone. But Ye Bhajanti Tu Man Bhaktva, but who loves me with the devotion, with exclusive devotion, what I will do? Mai Te Tesu Cha Api Aham, they are in me and I am in them. So, people say that bhakti is because of the karma of the people. But bhakti is not a question of karma. It is a quality of Krishna. Yetha mam prapadyante. Krishna reveals himself according to the degree of surrender. It is the swarup shakti of Krishna. It is the internal potency where Krishna reveals his satchitanand form to the devotee. And that is an ornamental quality. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it is an ornamental quality. It is not a partiality of Krishna. Krishna is attached. Krishna is attracted to the people who worship him with the devotion. And next verse, in 30, the attachment is so strong, Krishna says that this attachment will never go even if he commits accidentally any sinful activity. Api chetasi duracharo. Even if he is committing a crime or mistake, but he is engaged in a devotion, I consider myself him as a devotee because he is completely situated in his determination. Then Arjuna got bewildered. Okay, the person is committing sinful activity and is still accepting him as a devotee. But Shastra says that if the person has committed sin, he should not be accepted as devotee. Then Krishna spoke next verse. Shipram bhauti dharmatva shashra santim nigacchati kaunteha prati janehi name bhaktva pranayashati. That since they are attached to the exclusive devotion, I purify them. And once they get purified, they attain the long-lasting peace. Shashvat Shantim Nigachati. And Arjuna, you declare it boldly. My devotee never perishes. Krishna could have declared by himself. Krishna is declaring in 1865. Mam eva sasi satyam te prati jane priyo asmi me. He is very dear to me. I am declaring it. He is very dear to me. But Krishna is not declaring at this point. He is asking his friend Arjuna to declare, his disciple to declare, that you declare it boldly. Because people might don't trust in the promise of Krishna. Because he has broken his promise in the battlefield of Kurukshetra for the Bhishma, for his devotees. Because he is so much attached to his devotee, to uphold his devotee's position, he can do anything. He can go to any extent. He can break that promise. And he can be a subject of criticism for other people. But at the same time, he will try to protect his devotee position. So he asked Arjuna to declare it, that please you declare it. So same thing happened with the Chitraketu. Chitraketu was definitely going back home, back to Godhead. But Krishna wants to remove his last trace of sinful reaction by giving him punishment. So he has arranged the situation where he becomes the demon. It is said that no one can approach the sun without becoming fire. Similarly, no one can approach Krishna without becoming pure. For that, nishkam bhakti and selfless bhakti is very important. Once we do a nishkam or selfless bhakti, where the goal is self-realization, and we are giving up the fruits of results, we are trying to give up the fruits of result. And from that, there is a purification occurs. And there is a jnana. And when that steadiness of jnana comes, jnana is called, we are different from matter, we are atma. When that enlightenment comes, when that self-realization comes, then steadiness in actions also come. And when the steadiness in action comes, everything becomes spontaneous. So initially, when the person is in Aruruksha stage, where he's aspiring for that steadiness, for that enlightenment, he's not in the level of enlightenment. He's not in the Nishtha platform. So at that time, he might be facing some unsteadiness. He will face, and that is called Anartha Nivritti stage. He's trying to work in the Nishkam platform. He's trying to give everything, desires. He's trying, but still the desire comes sometime. But that is called Anartha Nivritti stage. But if we work on the same platform again and again, without getting bewildered, at the end, there will be steadiness. So it is said that for the steadiness, I think Jai Jagan Prabhu shared this thing, the psychological internal disposition of being free from attachment is more important rather than making an external show of giving up the possessions. Are you getting the point? The psychological internal disposition of giving up the attachment is more important than external show of giving up the possessions. For example, there are so many material people. They come to, in the new year, I was sitting over there on the table, and they come over here and they're looking at Kishore. Even Mataji came to me, do you have that, what is called, basma, that I can put it over here? And I don't have any answer. I told her, no. First of all, he told her, where are the pujaris? No, where are, she used some specific words. But they have inclination, you know. They're trying to put, they don't have any inclination. So that is the external possession. They're trying to do something externally. But internally, they cannot give up the attachment. They're totally attached. They wear a nice clothes, sari, come in the temple, go away, continue the same activities. But you say, okay, stay in the temple for one day and chant around, do some service, they cannot do. That's the internal disposition, giving up the attachment. Now you got a point? And they're making external show of giving up the possession. So initially, when we take up the yajna process of Hare Krishna, we're adding into this movement of Hare Krishna movement, we're chanting around, we're doing our services. Initially, there will be some unsteadiness. Because our mind is not fixed. But even if we have worked with the internal disposition to get a self-realization, even if we are not fixed, but we work with that internal disposition of self-realization, that unsteadiness will become steadiness eventually. Are you getting the point? For example, Arjuna. Krishna was telling that for Arjuna, fighting in the war, engaging the war as a yajna, as a mere external disposition is not as important as his internal disposition of engaging in the war. Because if the Arjuna is performing the war with the internal disposition, I think everything is shared by Jai Jagannath Prabhu, right? In the class. Because if he is performing the action with the internal disposition, then there will be steadiness in jnana. He will be an enlightened person. So that's the whole thing. That without this Nishkama Bhakti, without selfless services, there will be no satisfaction. So what is the requirement for this? There is a desire. We should desire to work on that platform. And with that desire, when we start the Bhajan Kriya process, that ultimately, there is a verse, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajita, Jan Ati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahitukam. Automatically, the knowledge and detachment will come. We don't have to strive harder. And that knowledge and detachment is so strong that Krishna says that Na Prayam Niravadya Samyujam. I cannot repay the debt. Your service is so wonderful that I cannot repay the debt. And he says that Pratiyuta Sadhuna. Let your own glorious deed be your compensation. I think I'm finished. Any questions? I'm sitting in front of Nityananda Pran Prabhu. I can't do anything.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes. I'm not sure if I heard properly in the beginning, so I'm asking, did you say Lord Shiva smokes ganja? Did you say that?
Lord Shiva's followers.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry for that. Because Lord Shiva's followers smoke ganjas.
Yes, that is true.
Did Shiva smoke ganja?
No. Okay. There's no. That is why I'm asking, because there is no reference that I'm aware that he
in
sits.
India, we are
No, no, no. So let me, therefore, I brought it up because many of us are hearing, and then we'll meet others and we'll say Shiva smokes ganja, and our head will have to come on a platter. He never smokes ganja. He sits at the crematorium. His body is smeared with ash. He wears a garland of skulls, all that stuff, snakes wrapped around his neck and arms, and doesn't wear any clothes. Is clothed by the directions, but he doesn't smoke ganja. This is all his sense of detachment and the constant meditation on the temporary nature of this material energy. And his mind is always focused on Lord Sankarshan, actually. So I haven't seen a reference in all the extensive books I've read about Lord Shiva. I haven't seen it. If you have seen something, I'd like to know.
No, sorry. Thank you for correction.
No, I'm not correct. I'm asking because I don't know if I heard you right.
No, when I was in India, the follower of Shiva was saying, okay, because Shiva is drinking, smoking ganja, we should also smoke ganja. And there's a particular day called Shivratri where they use this movement.
If a follower says it, you should ask for reference because no Vaishnav, no Acharya has ever quoted that.
Thank you.
To justify their action. You know? One time Srila Prabhupada had 7-Up and it became a bona fide drink. It's like that. So it's not that Lord Shiva did. I've not ever heard like that.
Thank you, Prabhu. I think Jeremy has got a question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. So this was an arrangement by the Lord that King Chitraketu would be cursed, and that would be the cause of his returning home.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if this is like a common method that the Lord uses. Is this something, or is this a special exception? Is this something we should expect in our own lives?
So your question is that for the Chitraketu, Lord has created a situation where he become demons so that he can quickly go back home to Godhead, right? So it's a common method applied by the God, or it's applicable to everyone, or it's depend upon the person to person, right? Your question is like that.
Is it a common method? Yes.
No, it's not a common method for sure. Krishna, one thing is very sure. Krishna is more eager to get us home back to Godhead more than we are eager to go. We have our own plans before we join Krishna consciousness, for example. I think I was talking with the Nityananda Prabhu last time. You are an impossible case. We have our own plans. You were impossible case. That means we have our own plans before we join Krishna consciousness. We can see that, what we are doing. The moment we join Krishna consciousness, even with the external show, with the internal disposition that I want to serve Kishore Kishori. Initially, we will be unsteady because our previous samskara are such that we were enjoying from so many lifetimes. And that same samskara is coming in this life. Because when the millennium comes to end, the same impression goes in a susupti state in pradhan. And when again the new millennium comes, you will get a body according to your impressions and desires. So you want to enjoy. So sometimes when you're in a sleep, you feel that, okay, you're committing suicide. You're falling from the top. Or you're saying, I usually get asleep. Sometimes when I'm sleeping, I get dreams of that I'm drowning in the water. I got a water phobia. I can never swim. So there should be something. We have got so many desires and so many impressions, and we want to enjoy according to that. We have got our own plans. But it is said in Bhagavad Gita, probably in 334, that 333, Athakena Prayuktam, that is what impels us to do this sinful activity. Arjuna is asking. Okay? So in that purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is writing that Nishkam Karma Yoga can help the impure person to become purified. So when we join Krishna consciousness, we are impure. So Nishkam Karma Yoga, you know what is Nishkam Karma Yoga? Working without any desire, selfless attitude. So when we join, even we have desire, but we are acting on that platform with the internal disposition, that will make us pure, if we are impure. If we are jnani, if we are pure, then already we have joined the bhakti process. So it's easy for us. For example, Chitraketu, it was easy for him to follow it, to come to the platform of self-realization because you're on a jnana platform. But if you're extremely impure, only the causeless mercy will act. So, in my case, when I was extremely impure, somehow some sadhu has showered mercy on me. And I'm telling you honestly, I was working with external show of Krishna consciousness. Still I'm making external show. I don't have any internal disposition. I was filling the cups for Kishore Kishori. I was going for book distribution for Kishore Kishori with the full fruity mentality. I was doing everything with a different attitude, Kishore. But yeah, Jai Jagannath Prabhu told that even we have desire for the internal disposition and we are working externally, but the desire is called the internal substance. The desire is called not external. It is called unsteadiness. The difference is steadiness and unsteadiness. So even we are working externally, we have so many desires, but we have internal disposition, we have inner substance that I want to become a devotee of Krishna, I want to serve Vaishnavas. That could be an unsteady situation, that inner substance could be unsteady. But with the passage of time, by following the Vaidhi Bhakti, we will be at a spontaneous platform where you will come automatically. Now you're coming every day 4 o'clock in the morning from outside. Even the ashram devotees find so much difficulty waking up 4 o'clock in the morning, coming down. I was imagining that how this person is just coming right at sharp 4 over here. Today only I was thinking like that. So it's spontaneity comes when we start working. Because Krishna, only causeless mercy of devotee, only causeless mercy of Krishna will help you to get out from the previous impressions. Otherwise, this previous impression are so strong, that the moment we go out of the association of devotee, over. And that's why every day when we go outside in the morning, evening, we come back and sit with the devotees. We share our thoughts. We associate. No matter how much our differences are there in our mental situation, still we are a family. We are working in a group. Because we know that if we go outside, it's more dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. Because we have seen ourselves being outside and coming in the temple and doing service. Right now we are at that platform where we can appreciate from where we are coming. And we appreciate to work further for Kishore Kishori in the association of devotees that will help you to get out of your own kabhi, you know, your own world. Yes, Prabhuji. Is it enough for you, Prabhu? You want to add something, Prabhu? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, really nice class. You made a lot of really nice points. One of the points I want to bring up is, I'll bring up your point after I explain something Acharya Nisha, a good point he brought up in a previous class. He made the point that it's not so good that, you know, when we're in association devotees, let's say in the temple, it's not so good that devotees are always, you know, kind to us and merciful to us. Because that doesn't give us an opportunity to purify an artist. It's actually more merciful if someone looks at us wrong or maybe criticizes us or whatever. Because if we go out in the material world, then, you know, and we're supposed to be representatives of, you know, Prabhupada, and then we explode, someone says something. So it gives us an opportunity here to, you know, make minor offenses and then, you know, purify of us an artist. So I thought that was a really good point. And this goes along with one of your points. I would like to hear what you think about it. As far as like the silent point, sometimes it's also good to not be so silent because that gives our authority or spiritual master sometimes an opportunity to correct us, to discipline us. Because if we keep like things bottled inside, like, you know, like a chemical bottle or something, if chemicals in the cap is on the top of the bottle, it'll explode. And so what do you think about that? Sometimes, you know, silence, you know, gives us... speaking, you know, sometimes gives us an opportunity for our authorities to correct us and purify an artist. So I'm wondering what you think about that.
You raised two questions. First, the devotee's relationship. As the Charanisha Prabhu told, always a peaceful relationship, because there should be some criticisms, like constructive criticism, that will help us to grow. I was talking with Himanshu Prabhu when we were going to airport last time, right? Himanshu Prabhu, don't be so kind, or don't be too much friendly with me, because if we are being scratching our back each other, then it's like, okay, we are a very good person. We are a very great devotee. We'll never come out of our cubby. So please be neutral. And the very same time, I heard a lecture from Madhavananda Prabhu. And he was telling that we are not yogis. We are not Ashtang yogis. we are devotees. We have relationship with Krishna, we have relationship with devotees. So it's better to cry when devotee is not there. It's better to seek for the association of devotees. It's better to go to devotee and just hug him. Because he will give the unlimited mercy. If he can do anything, Prabhu. But a small hug will give so much of mercy that we can chant our at least next day or end. It's round 16 rounds in the proper mood. So that is our philosophy. And Madhavanand Prabhu has explained very beautifully, right, Prabhu? That how we should be attached to the devotees. A single moment of association of devotees gone, that is worst. And he quoted the example of Ramanand Rai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking the Ramanand Rai, what is the most dangerous thing in this world? And Ramananda told that when the person is out of the association of devotees. That is. But at the same time, when Acharya Nishtha Prabhu said that we should have constructive criticism, yes, I'm very bad at that. Acharya Nishtha Prabhu is very good at that, I know that. He raised a point, he raised in a very smooth and simple way. So some people have been trained by this thing. So he can use his own skill. But I'm coming from a very bad impression when I used to boop. So it makes the thing more worse for me. So according to the training he has received from the authority and has got a previous samskaras, he should behave according to the devotees. Otherwise the situation might change, the relationship changes. So that's I learned while being in the ashram. Does it make sense?
Thank you.
But and the third thing, when the authorities are correcting us, it is not in NOD. I think Nityanand Prabhu was saying that. It is not because of envy. Spiritual master will never correct you because of envy. He doesn't have anything to be taken care of. Why he has given you spiritual initiation? He has got thousands of disciples. He has got his own sadhana, own things going on. Why he has accepted you? Why he has given you shelter? Not because he wants you, because you want him. And he wants that you should be in a good attitude while you're serving wherever you are. That's why he's correcting you. It's not because of envy. So whatever correction is coming from spiritual authority, we should accept it blindly. We can question it. Prabhu, is there our Guru Maharaj? But we should accept it. There is no envy in that. And if you accept it, you will grow. You will grow. No questions. Because they have seen the truth. They know. They have gone through the same situation. So they know how to train you. So when a new bhakta come in a temple, we try to say something. Say in a very positive way, in a very smooth way, that will help him to continue in Krishna consciousness. But my way is different, so I stopped.
For other points, you were mentioning the Apiset Chet Sudaracha verse. And then the next verse you said, what was that? Krishna purifies the devotee. So that was a really nice point, because a lot of times we like to emphasize purity is the force, and we don't realize that, well, we do realize, but sometimes it may not be emphasized that Krishna is the force who awards us purity based on our determination. And this kind of reminded me of the whole sparrow story again, because I kind of got some, you know, other realizations about it that Krishna gave me. I'll just explain, you know, a couple of them. Like the sparrow lost her eggs, of course. And for me, the eggs represents our most prized possession, our love of God. And the ocean represents our, you know, impurities, our inartas. So the sparrow, you know, she was determined to take out the ocean of inartas, you know, from the ocean. But it's impossible. Even in chapter 6 of Gita, Arjuna says it's easier to control the wind than the mind. So it's impossible, but through this determination, she, you know, invoked the mercy of Garuda, the Lord's devotee, and that's how the impossible became possible. So you were making these points throughout the class that, you know, all these things, principles and, you know, purity is impossible. Or to give up offenses and purities without the mercy of the Lord is utterly impossible. And so you were making, you know, those nice points. I wanted to
obviously make when that we comment. Join ashram, we don't have purity at all. But continuous working on that platform,
Vaidhi
Sadhana Bhakti. Spontaneity will come, the internal disposition will come, where you really want to serve Krishna, honestly, sincerely, without any, with or without, I don't know, I'm not at that platform, but yeah, spontaneity comes. Yes, Nik Prabhu.
Uh, Hare Krishna.
I wanted to share another perspective on Jeremy's question, if that's all right.
Sure.
This verse I thought of because it was one of Prabhupada's favorite verses, and he applied it in his own life. He saw that Krishna was giving him special mercy. So the verse is from the 10th canto, chapter 88, verse 8. The personality of Godhead said, "If I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends and followers of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way he suffers one distress after another."
Can you read the next verse? It's a beautiful verse after this. This is Yashyaham Anugranami, and after that,
"When he becomes frustrated in his attempts to make money and instead befriends my devotees, I bestow my special mercy upon
him." This is the Madhavananda Prabhu says the same point. That I take everything, yasaham anugranami, harishetad dhanam sani, tato adharam tajante asya, swajanam dukha dukhitam. He becomes so frustrated. And when he becomes frustrated, oh, I lost everything. He comes to devotees. Now what to do? Distress. Chaturvidha bhajante mamana is distress. He comes to devotees. Now what to do? And he gets started purification. Huh? That's a starting process of purification. I have to do this. I have to wash pots. I'm not for here. It's the beginning of the purification. But if you continue doing the same thing for 1 year, then okay, you'll be in a good platform. I face it.
Sorry, I just wanted to share also one thing that it does seem there were at least a handful of living entities who received a curse and took birth in some lower species of life. Like there was like a lizard or something stuck in a well that the Yadavas brought Krishna to go touch. And then there was also snake Gajendra also is there. I'm just thinking there's at least a couple more examples in Krishna Lila, of course, Nalakuvera Mani Griva.
Yeah.
So it does seem it is kind of a common method of the Lord to, because actually, like, it's only because of our illusion perspective that we're seeing things in terms of cursing and benediction, you know? This is just mundane duality. For Krishna, it's all mercy he's giving. So we could say, this is speculation, but just kind of logic also. At least half of the time, it will be look like a curse because, you know,
it's look like
it's just like that.
It is cursed like Jai Vijay. It was like demons, three lifetime. If someone says, okay, you be demon for three lifetime, who will go to be demon and I'll cut your abdomen? He don't want that. It's just a horrible thing. But yeah, it seems it's very simple.
Hare Krishna.
To Jeremy's question and his point, it's not that. Well, let me say it this way: a curse is just an instrument. The principle is adversity. So, should we all expect adversity? You bet, definitely. Because adversity is the stimulant for seeking Krishna's shelter. So we will all face adversity. In fact, we are, you know, something or the other. Either our bodies fails, definitely mind fails, circumstances fail, things and people that we think we can rely on, they fail us, the circumstances fail us, money fails us, something or the other. There's adversity in this material world because this material world is designed for adversity. So that we should expect. Whether we get cursed or not, maybe a special way in which Krishna moves things for us. And there have been many great persons who've been cursed. Like greater persons get cursed. But in general, the principle is adversity. Because the higher principle is that for a devotee, and that's the verse you were quoting, Narayana Parasarve, the higher principle is whether adversity or not, or specifically when adversity comes, the wonderful qualities of those devotees shine forth. Because if you have a contrasting backdrop, then what's in the front looks better. But if the backdrop is of the same type, then there's, you know, the specific qualities get merged. That's why either in dressing or in art, there is this whole sense of contrast, because that brings forth the beauty of that particular painting or something. So adversity is the backdrop. I can't remember verbatim. Jai Jagannath had quoted one statement of Bhakti Siddhanta, so I can't remember that verbatim. But adversity is the backdrop on which the wonderful qualities of devotees will shine forth.
If he's pious.
I said devotee, so I'm assuming he's pious. I mean, I don't know what is an impious devotee, but pious means a devotee.
If he's in his own world, suppose, for example, if he's trying to don't associate with devotees or try to find out his own solution.
We're talking of devotees. We're talking of Chitraketu, we're talking of Gajendra, we're talking of King Nriga, Nalakuram, Manik. We're talking where there may be some... Here, he's enjoying for millions of years, just floating around, having fun. Krishna wants to speed it up. And he sped it up this way. For someone else, he may speed up another way. But adversity, we should all expect. There's no surprise. We shouldn't say, oh, what happened? I thought Krishna said, I will take care of you. That is right. This is how he's taking care of us. So adversity will always be there. We are in the material sphere. We cannot say, there shouldn't be any adversity. There will be. And if there isn't, we should question it. Something's wrong.
Yes.
If we are not struggling every day to keep our mind focused in our chanting, somehow pushing our body and mind to serve, if that's not there and it's all a smooth ride, we should be a little suspicious, like, what's going on? Because adversity is the fire, the friction that burns the impurities. It's called the fire of ordeal. Sometimes it's a small, sometimes it's big, sometimes it's very big. But that fire of ordeal, for example, okay? I don't mean to take away time, but it's just to explain his point. Suppose we have to wake up and come for Mangal Arati, right? It's very easy to say, not today. But the fire of ordeal is, let me do it. Let me at least try, let me attempt. And that's where the impurity gets burnt. So adversity is the way Krishna speeds up.
Thank you, Prabhu. The reason I told pious, because the example you gave, and that's the reason I told. No, it was...
Oh, it was just funny.
It was because you gave the example of Jay and Vijay. And the Chitraketu and Gajendra. You gave the example of great devotees. But where we are at level, our level may not be a Chitraketu or Gajendra level. So for us, why piety is required? Because if we are not understanding the piety that we are all here, and if we not stay in this process, and if we try to figure out the situation by our way, we'll get out of the devotee association.
Because we are not Chitraketu and Gajendra, we don't get cursed to become a demon or elephant, but we get adversity. That's the point.
Yes, we get a human form of life.
However, elephant-like or whatever, demon-like human form.
Or a tree.
Whatever. But adversity will definitely be there.
Thank you. I think Acharya says that once, well then good.
Thank you. Just hearing the chapter summary brings a few questions. That in the last chapter we heard that when King Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, Ned, he tears fell from his eyes. He became completely purified of all material contamination and reestablished in his original Krishna consciousness. And then we're hearing in his next life, he became a demigod, the king of the Vidyadharas. So that was a question. In the same life. So he became promoted to that position. Okay. And so, okay, so yeah, I'm just understanding then that he was still, now, was his seeming offense due to material contamination, or it was simply a pastime orchestrated by the Lord?
He was a king of the other planet before.
So,
For example, Dhruva Maharaj. I'm not comparing two things. For example, Dhruva Maharaj, he was having some material desires, not in the case of Chitraketu, but he was given a responsibility of ruling the polar star through Loka, because Krishna understood that he needs that particular person for that service. Similarly, King Chitraketu, with the 10 million wives, was living in the planet of Vidyadhar before. He was a king. So Krishna wants that person to complete his service. He was the king of Vidyadhar planet, right? So he was not a Vidyadhar planet before. So he was on the earth. I understood in the chapter that's fine. Because of the service, he wants to, yeah. Vidyadhar is ultimately the planet of demigod. But the question is that, yeah, why? Because Krishna wants him over there for the particular service. So just to complete his service, maybe I'm not complete with my answer. Nityananda Prabhu can add it. So to just complete his service, he has been given a service over there and fulfill his duty over there. And then Krishna has planned that over there he'll be cursed by Mother Parvati. He'll be getting, because he was, after getting the blessings from Lord Shankarsana, he was so much puffed up that he was riding in the airplane with the women. And he forgot that he was not supposed to criticize Lord Shiva. So everything was arranged. Krishna wants this situation. So he arranged the situation that, okay, he should go to Vidyadhar planet, he should rule that planet, he should go on the airplane, should sit with the women chanting the holy name of Krishna. You see the Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva, Parvati will curse. So I think because Krishna wants the situation to happen in his life, it has happened, but Prabhu can add it if you want.
That means Chitraketu did not commit an offense per se, because in his heart he's not carrying any negativity towards Lord Shiva. He laughed because he and Shiva are friends. They're like god brothers, both like Sankarshan in one sense. They're friends. So as one Prabhu will make fun of another Prabhu, but the wife will take an offense. So that's the point here. You know, if we tell buddies, suppose we were college buddies, we meet each other and say, come on man, I know how you were. Then the wife will say, why does he speak to you like that? Okay. No, we're friends. That's the situation is like that. Mother Parvati took offense for something that Lord Shiva doesn't take offense. And it's just, it is funny that he is giving Bhagavatam. One devotee was explaining, can you ever imagine giving Bhagavatam class with the wife on the lap? Contextually, it's not appropriate. It was just funny. And who's sitting in the assembly? Celibate sages. It is a funny. See, we are all laughing. Be careful, Mother Parvati will get upset. So that's, his name is Girish. He's Girish, Lord Shiva's name. Girish means Lord Shiva. So it's like that. The wife will take an offense for something two buddies are. That's why he laughed, because he thought it was like very, like, amusing. That's why he laughed. But she took offense and cursed him. So he never said, oh, Mataji, what it was, come on. I'm not serious, it's just a joke. You said, okay, however you like it. That is what Lord Shiva is appreciating.
Can I add something? Yeah. Thank you very much. It's given in the purport behind that Lord Shiva is one of the greatest yogi. He remained silent and he smiled. The reason he smiled and silent, because he took the criticism as a good criticism. Because in Bhagavad, it's written over there, in Bhagavad Gita 3.20, when it says that yad-yad acharati sestha. So whatever the great man will do, the common man will follow. So Chitraketu wants Shiva to stop his external behavior. He knows that he was behaving externally. Internally, he's a very renounced brahmachari. He was knowing, it is written in the purports. But externally, he's making a show off as if he's captured by his wife. So in order
to stop the people's criticism towards Lord Shiva in the future, he thought that he should correct Krishna. He should correct Shiva. He's at that position that he can correct Shiva. But he doesn't understand that Shiva is he himself has got so much of knowledge, he can do whatever he wants. He knows what he's doing. So that was his, it was not his mistake, it was not his offense, but he tried to criticize him, right, Prabhu? Like a buddy. Like a buddy.
On this topic, I was just recently came across a few different points on karma and what happens to karma when someone attains self-realization, either through the impersonal path or through devotional service. So we know there are different types of karma. One of them is prarabdha karma. It's already manifest. It's already in motion for this birth. So there are a couple different analogies that explain this. One of them that we've heard already is the fan that's been, you know, plugged into the outlet, and then it's unplugged, but there's already some energy transferred to the machine, so that energy has to work its course. Another analogy that I heard recently...
Hing bottle.
What's that?
The analogy of hing bottle.
No, that's a good one too, but I was thinking of this other one with an arrow. After an archer has shot his arrow, then the arrow is in motion. He cannot adjust the course of that. So it's only prarabdha karma. It's manifest karma, and it's already set into motion, and that's what we're experiencing in this current lifetime. But there's so much karma that is going to manifest in future lifetimes unless we do something about it. So that, therefore, self-realization, so we can avoid the up and down of samsara. Now, at the time of surrender, then one of our acharyas was commenting in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna will burn the seeds of all the karmic reactions except the prarabdha karma.
No, everything gets burned.
Except the prarabdha karma.
Yeah, prarabdha karma will remain. Why it remains? Because if the prarabdha karma goes away, the body will go away. Nobody will have to preach the message of Krishna. So prarabdha karma will remain. You're right.
Yeah, but prarabdha karma... In certain circumstances, then Krishna may make some arrangement to decrease the duration that devotee must wait.
Yes.
So then in this case, then he made this arrangement that Chitraketu would be cursed by Parvati so that he could, you know, shorten the time. Otherwise, his prarabdha karma was that he would remain for, like Nityananda Prabhu was saying, for so many years enjoying.
Yes.
So, like that, it's just an interesting point.
Oh, that's a beautiful point. Thank you very much for adding that point. No, that's right. Even in Bhagavad Gita 3.19, it says that person who is working in the Nishkama platform, where he is renouncing the fruits of result, because of the steadiness of Jnana, all his karma disappears. And in again in 3.36, maybe, Yatha e dhamasi sammito agnir bhasmasat kurute datha, that everything gets burned off, api chetati pape bhyo, the sinful action. And next verse is, Yatha e dhamasi sammito agnir, the pious also. But the prarabdha karma will be left. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoting that if the prarabdha karma is gone away, then the body, which is the result of the prarabdha karma, will also go away. And as a result, he will not be able to preach the message of God. And I think same thing has happened with Chitraketu. Yeah, and the same thing in this verse number 9, 31, or 30, Sripram Bhavati Dharmatma. In this purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is writing that when there is a poison, we start taking a medications. The effect of poison will start decreasing, but it will not go immediately. The insignificant amount of poison will remain, but that will not harm you. Similarly, when we start this process of sadhana bhakti, chanting and hearing and exclusive remembering, then the lust, anger, greed, pride, desire will eventually start going away. We have to have faith in this process. But it will not go away immediately, but it will go away in the future, will be coming to the steady platform, and that time it will be like a snake with a teeth without poison. So when the snake is without teeth, when there are senses which come in a contact with the sense object, but the senses are merged, dissolve. Bhakti process is so powerful that it dissolves your everything into bhakti. Your subtle senses get dissolved into bhakti. For example, the fire of digestion. Jai Jagannath Prabhu is giving the example. The fire of digestion is so strong that when you start eating, the digestions take place, start immediately. But the food doesn't digest it immediately. It will take a time to digest. After 4 or 5 hours, the food gets digested. But when it, during the process of digestion, what happens? The nourishing thing will remain as it is. But the poisonous thing, the toxins, will get burned by the acid. Similarly, when we start the bhakti process, the nourishing thing will remain. And our impure senses and impure mind will merge. It will never go away. It will merge into the process of it. It will dissolve. So everything is same, but in the pure state. Dissolution takes place. Are you getting? Impure soul, impure mind, impure senses, impure intelligence. It will get purified because we are acting in the soul. Vishaya vinaya vartante nirahasya dehina raso vajam raso piyasya param dishto nivartate. We are engaging the soul. And since the soul is anger, which is higher than mind intelligence. What is that verse? Indriyani manobuddhir. Yeah. Manobuddhir. So soul is higher than everything. When soul is engaged, the mind and intelligence, which is lower than soul, then mentality and the tendency to produce the poisonous effect will dissolve into the process of digestion. Process of digestion is hearing, chanting and doing bhakti process. Are you getting point, Himanshu Prabhu? No. You're not getting? For example, when we are diet... No, he's not meshing with me. Are you sure? Suppose, Prabhu, when you start digesting the food gets digested. The acid is there in the stomach. The acid is there in the stomach, right? The acid will burn the toxins, but the nutrients will remain, will provide the nourishment to the tissues. Similarly, when the bhakti start, the impure thoughts and impure thinking will go away and it will merge into the process of bhakti. And only the pure soul and subtle, the pure mind and pure soul will remain. Everything else will get destroyed. Destroy means it don't get destroyed, it don't go away, it will dissolve. Sorry. Any question? Any comment?
For the results of that problem, I mean, sometimes we see when someone attains perfection, like Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna just sent Vimana to take him back to Godhead. So the description was given based on his prarabdha karma, he would have to suffer this reaction, but it would just be speeded up by the Lord's mercy. But the Lord could also just take him back like that, right? So I was just curious that may not, I don't know if that's necessarily the reason. It's a nice understanding that that can happen. But in the case of Chichiketu, we may not know necessarily. You know, I'm just trying to determine whether more it was the Leela aspect of the Lord, that he had a particular service and he wanted to illustrate this pastime, or it was more that based on he had some remaining karma he had to burn off. But Prabhupada says it's a very mysterious...
Are you asking me or asking Prabhu? First Prabhu, according to my, as Jeremy Prabhu told that, and Prabhu gave the answer, Krishna has a different way of treating with different people. So it could be a Leela, where, for example, Nalakura and the Manigriva, he stand for millions of years in the courtyard of Nand Maharaj, and they got immediately break went to. Yeah. Similarly, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he gave him the work to do. So Krishna has got a different way to the different situation. He make arrangement for different people. That's what I am thinking. Now, if Prabhu wants to add something, that will be.
Because looking at the context of the pastime also, it seems that there is... Krishna's doing many different things through that, if we look later on down the road.
So yes, so one is, there are many things Krishna is manifesting for us to learn from. Second is it always necessary that way? No, that Krishna can take someone right out of the situation back to Godhead. I'm sure if I think about it, there are many examples. One is, all the soldiers on the Kurukshetra battlefield got their swarupa because Krishna's presence is there. And they were ordinary foot soldiers, the infantry and the cavalry, the elephants and the horses, and they all went back to Godhead. Chitraketu becomes Vritrasura. It's like, whoa, hold on a second here. Or, what was the other one? Jadabharat. you know, Maharaj Bharat becomes Jara Bharat. But there are certain reasons that for them, for these personalities, the deepening and relishing of bhakti is far more important than what body they have. And that's the point Lord Shiva is saying, Swarga Apavarga Narkeshu. Whether you're in the demigod body, you're in a hellish condition, that is not relevant. What is relevant is their sense of deeper connection with Krishna. And that's what Krishna cares for. And that's what he is doing. Another is, generally when we hear the word karma, it has a negative connotation for some reason. Like, that's a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Because the karma gives a particular body, like you were saying, because the body has to be made from the elements of this material nature. That's called karma. How we utilize it decides whether we will stay here or get out of here. In the sense that the karma can be used in a spiritual way, in a spiritualized manner. So getting another body for, in this case, Vritrasura, that it's going to become, is not an issue. Because we just heard in the previous chapter that as Vritrasura, he's quoting verses left, right, and center, like even Indra is amazed, like, whoa. And Prabhupada writes that Indra is the demon and Vritrasura is the devotee here. No, it was supposed to be that he was supposed to kill Indra, and in the mantra there was a little mistake, that instead of he being the enemy of Indra, he was going to be killed by Indra. This is Krishna's arrangement in that sense.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.